Hi there, listener. You're about to experience Tadpog. Tyler and Dave play old games, and there will be plenty of game talk, but also copious amounts of crude, off-color, offensive, and immature speech. So if you are of a rather sensitive humor constitution, we're just letting you know what you're in for with this show. It has games. It has jokes. You know, just games and jokes. Take the games, take the jokes, and have a good time.
Hello, Internet. Welcome to another Tadpog podcast. It's a show that happens twice a week where two old guys and two other also old guys talk about old games. It is Original Flavor Wednesday, so that means we have now come to the end, almost the end. The number one spot, which we broke into two pieces, but the number one spot on Dorkly's top 25 N64 games with The Legend of Zelda, Ocarina of Time.
I believe it's pronounced Ocean's 11.
Ocean's 11 of Time.
Octopussy of Time.
So, of course, bringing back, we had two very strong requests about ultimate diehard superfans of this game. So, of long-time Been Here a Lot fame, Josh Nance.
Hey.
And of Been Here one other time and seemed to really enjoy it, so he came back, Ian Chandler.
Can't get enough. Hello.
So, I'm your bearded host, Tyler. And before we delve into all of that goodness, all that what is sure to be top-notch quality, I have another addition to the ongoing Tadpog series of Tadpog Tries Spicy Heart Garbage Food.
More Taco Bell?
No. Today is Tadpog Tries Super Hot Garbage Food, Arby's edition.
Arby's has super hot
Arby's
food? I mean, I know they have garbage food.
So temporarily, Arby's has the spicy jalapeno brisket burger.
Okay. Man, I'm... Whatever you guys don't eat, I will eat because I haven't had dinner yet.
I won't be able to participate. I can't do the hot, spicy garbage. The garbage I can do, hot and spicy.
Hot and spicy is no.
Is a no. It's because I'm old.
Dave.
Thank you for the cup.
Your red cup, sir.
This sandwich is a liquid sandwich. So Tyler brought us all cups.
He put it in the blender first.
I was pretty sure you had a stroke before you came here, so I put it in a blender.
I did.
So then I'll give quarters to Josh, and I'll skip you, so Dave gets a half.
All right. It's good. Thank you.
So the first time we've tried Arby's on the show...
The first time we've tried Arby's.
Now, is this a burger or is this a
meat
thing?
It's a meat thing.
Okay,
it looks like there's
brisket. I don't see any hamburger.
Oh, brisket. Right.
All right, so we're going.
It's basically bread, brisket, and barbecue sauce. Lots of bees here.
And also has onion straws and jalapenos.
It's a billion degrees.
Uh-huh.
Which I do like. I enjoy eating my food like, you know, those lizards in the desert that can, like, stand on two legs at a time. They keep switching. That's what I like.
Well, see, I was in town earlier about 5. So I picked up about 5 and kept it in a 100-degree oven for the last 3 hours wrapped in tinfoil.
Yeah, I wish you gave me a warning about that. And I wish I had more than just those empty plastic cups.
I have some here beers you go, if you want.
Yes, pour me your water over your laptop.
I like to live dangerously.
Andy, what's a new
I really like this.
Yeah, it's actually pretty good.
I think it's really good.
Dave,
Are you sure?
I can't.
I'm going to pass my...
Okay, yeah, I'll eat your leavings.
Yeah.
It smells good. It smells spicy. Hot.
It has a decent kick to it.
Mm-hmm.
But it has that Arby's smell. You ever notice how everything from Arby's smells the same? It doesn't matter what you get. It always smells the same.
That's pretty true.
Yep. Yeah, that was pretty spicy. That's about my limit on spicy. That's about how.
Okay, so you will not be interested in what else I have in this container.
All right, we got more stuff.
Because, Meg, if you'll be so kind as to get the milk out of the refrigerator for me.
Right now? Oh, this is really spicy?
Yeah. If you recall, probably about a year ago, we had a call, or we had a text.
About Spicy Boys?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Asking us to, like, as an intro, do the hot pepper challenge. So today at Walmart, I picked up this container of habanero peppers.
Okay.
So if you're down, we'll get some milk in these glasses, and we can straight up just bite into these things that sent Alton Brown to the emergency room as a kid.
I'm down.
Oh my God. Here, Dave, I'll let you select one. So someone pass it over to him.
Thank you.
I feel like you're going to crush this, Dave.
Well, see, Meg doesn't realize I put the milk in the refrigerator out here, and she went back into the house.
I'm trying to pick a good one. Let's see. They're kind of waxy.
Yeah.
Maybe they're coated in wax, like the remember Homer when he ate the Chilean insanity pepper? Had to coat it in wax to swallow it.
They're not decorative, are they?
Made by blind, insane Chilean.
They look
prisoners.
Very pretty.
They're like decorative soaps, yeah.
So that's why Alton Brown, he associated that color with candy as a kid. So when he sees that in the grocery store, he just went up and just popped him in his mouth.
No, I'm passing.
You're not going to do it?
Are you sure, Josh?
I'm certainly not joining either.
So, like, what are we going to do? We can eat the whole thing?
What
will kill us? You're a chef, so what will kill us?
I put it in this fridge.
No,
I think just a good bite.
So not the whole thing?
Not the whole thing.
So you know.
So let's get the milk first.
How much of a bite?
I'm going to take about half.
Half the pepper?
And if Johnny Cash in wolf form shows up, you know it's working. It's your spirit guide.
I need a spirit guide right now. That'd be great, actually. I need to go on a journey.
You're a braver soul than I, Dave. Passing.
All right, got the milk.
Because I haven't used a habanero, like a real habanero, in anything in a long time. And when I did, it was incorporated into a whole dish. So I've never just had a straight habanero like this before.
I think you'll be fine.
And I have to note, too, the milk is the real deal. It's the vitamin D. None of this 2%, 1% shit.
Nope.
Organic vitamin D milk.
So I knew we would need the fat content straight in order to continue with our show.
Yeah, we need a. Do you have a lot of anything with wheat in it as well?
So, Josh, you ready to host this sucker?
Yeah, we got this. Backup hosts.
I guess before I take this, in case I die, what's up, Internet? I'm Dave, your bespectacled host, and I guess if I die, what do I want to leave Josh? Josh, you can have my collection of Deadpool comics, which will really probably piss Nicole off because you guys just gave me a whole bunch of Deadpool comics.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So you'll be getting those back in addition to three long boxes.
All right. Yeah.
And Ian, you can have the four t-shirts that I own.
Sweet. Including the one you're wearing now.
Including the one that I'm wearing.
That's the one I really want.
It's going to be covered in like psychedelic vomit.
Yeah.
I'll never wash it.
Try not to sweat on it too much.
Yeah. If you could put it under glass in your living room, that would be awesome. Yes. Yeah. All right, you ready to do this?
Yep.
All right, let's do this.
Some good crunches, guys. Yeah.
Yeah, it is very crunchy. Dave looks confused.
Oh, I feel it coming.
Yeah, that's what I'm waiting
for. It's going to sneak up on you, I feel.
Yeah, I feel it.
Tyler's eyes are watering. Dave's going in for bite number two. Finished it off.
That's impressive.
Tasty pepper.
Because I feel it in my nose. It's not like, not dangerous hot, but that's pretty hot.
I shouldn't have taken a second bite. Should have stopped. First. My throat is really hot. I don't feel it in my sinuses.
Oh, God, I do. Woo. It's not as bad as what you bought me, Josh.
The flashbang.
The flashbang.
Flashbang's the worst.
Is that the stuff you brought to D&D that night? There was something.
Oh, John and I tried to like
it was in a hand grenade container.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
The thing that would, like,
tears were shed that
give you a, yeah, it would give you a literal chemical burn if it touched your skin.
There was a warning about it making you pass out.
It was, yeah. You all braver than I.
I had the smallest of drops on a,
so it was like needle, like a roll. Paper clip or something.
Yeah,
or,
it was just like, I mean, I just barely, and it was just overwhelming. It was crazy.
I'm not going to talk for a while. I'm just going to hold milk in my mouth.
Yeah, you're going to have it leach out some of that stuff.
Need to gargle. Gargle the milk. Yeah. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
No, I had that.
I'm just going to drool it.
Adds to the shirt.
So that flashbang was like that, but all over my dick when I accidentally did that one time. Meg, could I ask you to put this back in the fridge, or Dave, do you want more?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a super sleeper for me.
Here, let me pour this for you. What kind of
guest? You don't want to do it right over the soundboard?
No, I'd really rather not.
Thank you.
What kind of guest would I be if I didn't pour you some milk when I came by?
There, Meg, if you put that back. Well, there you go, Texter. Mm-hmm. There's your hot pepper challenge. It is.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty intense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Meg.
I got tears. Tears are happening. All right, Josh, Ian, take it away.
Let us recover. Tell stories, tell things, talk about life.
I just want to watch you guys suffer. Yeah. This is great.
Really entertaining.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. You need this to be a video podcast. They're in pain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're both sweating.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Dave cannot stop filling
this
his mouth.
This will be an interesting challenge to do Ocarina of Time just by grunts.
So did you like that part?
Mm-hmm. I'm a Goron, guys.
The pain. I'm watching. You're hearing pain. This is the sound of pain.
Mm-hmm. It's really hot. Thank you. I'm gonna get in on the snot.
Are you guys gonna be okay? Do we need to?
No, I'll be okay. In like 5 minutes. Break. Okay. So.
All right. we'll just sit here for 5 minutes.
Da-na-na-na-na. Yeah.
But Ian, you had things you wanted to talk about, please.
Sure.
Please.
Well, first thing I'm going to do, and you know, I know you guys are hurting right now, but what better time? I brought gifts.
Yeah.
For you. First one is just something I thought was appropriate for tonight. So I told you in the last time I was here, I'm a guidebook guy because back in the day we didn't have internet to look things up. This is the unbelievably well-bound Twilight Princess.
I've heard about that.
Strategy guide.
That's beautiful.
This thing is awesome, and I would like to donate it. I feel like it would be very, very much at home here in Tadpog Studios.
That is amazingly generous. So thank you.
Please accept that. That is
awesome. Hold it above your head.
It's beautiful. It's actually... if you read through it, look through it, it's really in depth. It's got an index. It's got a contents of the monsters and like their threat levels to you and things of that nature. I mean, it goes into ridiculous detail.
I figured out what was killing me. By the way, I had a seed stuck in between my teeth.
That'll do it.
I wanted to only take that one bite of the last half. I knew if I got those seeds, that would be. Whew.
It was stuck in my teeth. I just pulled it out.
Cool.
I'm just going to wipe it on this book.
Yeah. It's yours now. You can do whatever you want with it.
Just throw up all over it.
But that's awesome. Thank you very, very much.
Yes, thank you.
The second gift I brought is another strategy guide. This one from Dave's favorite game, Banjo-Tooie.
That's so thin compared to what I thought it would be.
It is autographed Banjo. I got this autograph for you, Dave.
Yeah?
By Banjo.
Directly?
I can read the
please
autograph,
read
or you can read it.
No, please do.
Fucking Tadpog. Sorry you guys thought my games sucked so much. That means a lot coming from a couple of guys with such an awesome podcast. Go fuck yourself. Maybe this guide will help. Banjo. P.S. Should be plenty of good shots of Kazooie's slit in here in case you need them. So.
Awesome.
There's another one for you.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. I have no need for them, and I wanted them to get a good home, not piled underneath a bunch of Stephen King books at my house.
Why's Banjo got to be such a dick?
He's a dick. It's like you said that, you know, they say never meet your favorite celebrity
or your least favorite video game character.
You're going to be disappointed one way or the other. Actually, I thought maybe you'd be kind of glad that Banjo was such a dick.
It does make sense. Yeah. It does make sense. I was expecting a little bit more from Kazooie, but that's okay.
She wasn't around.
Yeah.
Probably off banging that guy from Reddit. They hooked up.
That's good. Thing. They found each other on Tinder.
Yeah.
He was just sliding for days until a bird showed up.
That's great.
Every time I exhale, it's just like heat. It's like dragon's breath. Just, yeah. Ow. Yeah. Ow.
I feel like your mic covers are going to like melt away. Gonna, like, yeah. Like film, you know, when you stop 8mm film and it just sort of melts.
I was thinking like a solar shield on a shuttle or something.
I wonder how many messages, habaneros aren't hot, you guys are pussies, that we will get. Because we'll get at least, you know, four or five.
Well, I'm going to send one. Mm-hmm. So there's one for sure.
One in the bank.
Says the guy that didn't even play.
They wouldn't eat Arby's.
They wouldn't eat the Arby's.
Well, that I don't really fault you. Normally I'd be like,
You sure you know what diarrhea? Are you sure?
My favorite line from The Simpsons ever, and I'll remember until I die is, I'm so hungry I could eat at Arby's.
Mine is, my cat's breath smells like cat food. Right. Huge Ralph Wiggum fan.
Yeah. You choose me?
I gave my wife that Valentine a couple years ago. I actually had a box of Simpsons Valentines, and I bought it knowing for certain that there would be one of those in there, and there's sure as shit there was. So.
Did she appreciate it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She and I and The Simpsons, we go way back. I was watching The Simpsons when it was a short on the Tracy Ullman show, like back.
Yeah, I've seen those.
Forever.
Those.
Awful. Yeah. Awful, awful.
Really bad.
Surprisingly, you know, the show developed into what it is from that. I just you wouldn't believe it.
I didn't really care for the Tracy Ullman show either, so like, it just got lucky on a lot of different levels.
Yeah,
I didn't even know that was a show, The Simpsons.
The Simpsons.
The Simpsons. Yeah.
You guys want to talk about Ocarina of Time?
Yeah, Josh. You got anything?
I'd rather just make mouth noises and breathe heavy. Honestly, I mean,
yeah, this is the only way that Tyler and I can actually mask having sex on the show, is pretending that we had hot peppers.
So many habaneros. Yeah,
Josh and Aaron are like, I'm gonna pass.
you guys sure you don't want to on this? Get the milk, Meg. Get the milk. Yeah. Get that whole milk.
Get that vitamin D.
Dave, you hear that?
No, I don't. I don't hear that. What is it?
Us breathing like Blake after he just ate a hot and ready pizza. Just.
I do hear that. Keep going. Keep going. I got to pull this up on Wikipedia. Keep doing it.
See, but breathing out hurts, so I'm finding myself lifting up my lips and like doing a butthead impression. Just
I just burped, and that was not a good. That was not a pleasant experience.
So next time we can get ghost peppers and try it with that, and then Tijuana scorpions, and then
what is it that they eat at the festivals and always throw up?
Probably ghost peppers. Because I imagine that's like the hottest accessible pepper, and then like Tijuana scorpions are after that, and then the Carolina Reaper is the hottest pepper.
Those are good training peppers. Yeah. We could train on that.
Yeah.
We could have a pepper gym. Hot pepper gym. That's what we'll just record that on Fridays, and then you'll do the fucking Fridays podcast, and then we'll eat a pepper.
Just fuck.
Yeah, I hear that train. That Blake meets Butthead meets hot pepper sex train that, of course, ushers in a segment that we like to call Dave Reads from Wikipedia. This is going to be the most painful Dave Reads from Wikipedia ever, because this entry is probably longer than the strategy guide that Ian just gave us. Okay, guys. Whew. The Legend of Zelda, Ocarina of Time, or as it's known in Japan, Zelda no Densetsu, Toki no Ocarina. is a 1998 action-adventure video game developed by Nintendo's Entertainment Analysis and Development Division for the Nintendo 64 home video game console. It was released in Japan on November 21st, 1998, in North America on November 23rd, 1998, and in Europe on December 11th, 1998. This was originally developed for the 64 Double D peripheral. The game was instead released on a 256 megabit cartridge, which was the largest capacity cartridge Nintendo produced at that time. It is the fifth game in the Legend of Zelda series and the first with 3D graphics. It followed 18 months after its release by the direct sequel, The Legend of Zelda: Majora's Mask. In Ocarina of Time, the player controls a series trademark hero, Link, in the land of Hyrule. Link sets out on a quest to stop Ganondorf, the king of the Gerudo tribe, from obtaining the Triforce, a sacred relic that grants the wishes of its holder. Link travels through time and navigates various dungeons to awaken the sages who have the power to seal Ganondorf away forever. Music plays an important role. To progress, the player must learn to play and perform several songs on an ocarina or on a Rochumaru. The game was responsible for generating an increased interest in and rise in the sales of the instrument itself. Ocarinas are booming.
Worked on me.
Josh, you own an ocarina.
Yeah, I do.
Because of the game?
Because of the game.
Because of the game.
Not just, no. I'm a pretty musical person, so just...
Why, I'm curious, why didn't they re-release the game like with an ocarina and be like, and just be like, here's the special ocarina edition for $100.
There
and
is a, like, there is a special just, edition of this game called the Master Quest.
Yeah.
Ugh.
What's that include? Oh no, that was a pretty negative reaction.
They Master released Quest, it on the GameCube too.
Yeah, the Master Quest is the same game, the one that, only all the dungeons are backwards. And like you don't get as many hearts or something. It's just
what do you mean they're in backwards order or like, they're
the dungeons aren't the same.
Okay.
So, and I think they're in reverse. Like the layout of the dungeons is reverse from what
like
it was.
That, yeah.
Something, so you have to play like it in a mirror.
Yes. Like I think they had released it on GameCube and it was part of, if you pre-ordered Wind Waker, you got it as part of like a special edition.
Is that the one that includes several Zelda games on it?
There was the Master Collection disc. I had that, and I don't know where it is anymore. I think I may have given it to my son to take home and play on his GameCube, but it had the original Legend of Zelda. It had Ocarina. It had Majora's Mask. And I think it had a Link to the Past as well.
Because those go on eBay.
Yeah,
for
those
a lot
are pretty
of
pricey.
Those
yeah.
are holy grails.
So I got to get with my son. Got to get that back.
Yeah.
Pay my mortgage.
Have Banjo call him.
Listen, kid.
There's more. This is kind of interesting. Released to universal critical acclaim, Ocarina of Time's gameplay system introduced features such as a target lock system and context-sensitive buttons that have since become common elements in 3D adventure games.
Yeah, the Z-targeting.
Loves me some Z-targeting.
In Japan, more than 820,000 copies were sold in 1998, making it the 10th best-selling game of that year. During its lifetime, 1.14 million copies of Ocarina of Time were sold in Japan, and over 7.6 million copies were sold worldwide. The game won the grand prize in the Interactive Art Division at the Japan Media Arts Festival and won 6 honors at the 2nd Annual Interactive Achievement Awards. As of 2015, it is the highest-rated game on Metacritic. With a score of 99 out of 100.
And every other game rating. I mean, IGN, all of them, gave it perfect scores or just a fraction below perfect everywhere you look.
In 2008 and 2010, Guinness World Records listed Ocarina of Time as the highest rated game ever reviewed. Positive reception has endured since its release, with the title now considered by many critics and gamers to be the greatest video game of all time.
It's a big deal. Mm. It was a very big deal.
It had 4 major re-releases. It was originally ported to the GameCube alongside Ocarina of Time Master Quest.
So it was milk to all hell.
Yes. which featured reworked dungeons with new puzzles and was included in the Legend of Zelda Collector's Edition.
That was so hard.
It was also ported to the iQ Player in 2003.
We've all got one of those.
Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and show my gaming ignorance on that one. Do not know what that is.
Got our next list.
So Sam, let us know what that is. And it was made available via the Virtual Console service for the Wii and Wii U in 2007 and 2015, respectively. These re-releases were well-received, although some critics considered the relatively unchanged game to be outdated. Well, okay. Other reviewers believe the game had held up well over the years. Finally, the 3DS remastering was released in 2011, once again including Master Quest's rearranged dungeons, along with updated graphics and 3D effects.
It looks good on the 3DS.
Yeah, it does.
Is that what? Okay, I played it on the Wii U. I own the N64 cartridge, but I was like, I want to play this game in bed. I don't want to play this game 4 feet from my television set, which maybe in 1998, that wouldn't have been such a big deal right. because my television set would have been about the size of my microwave.
Right.
That's how I played Earthbound, with my kitchen TV detached from the cabinet, sitting in my lap, or next to my Super Nintendo, playing in bed. Yeah.
Playing at a
very sweaty lap.
Man.
As a child, very sweaty lap.
playing a game in bed is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I have not played the 3DS version of Ocarina of Time. Josh, I know you own it.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of the 3DS version?
They basically kept everything the same. The graphics are better. They fixed, I think, some translation issues or some grammatical errors. Other than that, like they left a lot of the glitches and they put in a couple couple Skyward Sword Easter eggs, but other than that, they pretty well kept it the same.
How do they handle the Ocarina buttons on the 3DS? Because like on the N64, you use the C buttons to play the Ocarina. How do they do it on the 3DS?
I don't remember. I think it was on the touch screen. Yeah.
Okay.
It was super easy. Much easier than...
Really?
Yeah. Much easier than the 64, the C button you used.
Yeah. The yellow C buttons. Mm-hmm. On the Wii U version, it sucks because you have to use the analog stick, the top right analog stick. So yeah, it's like just trying to select, the items in your inventory, which you assign to like down, left, and right. Is really difficult because it's like I'll be in a real dangerous situation where it's like I need the slingshot because this bat that's on fire is coming at me and I gotta get the slingshot, and they're like, oh, I'll just pull out this ocarina, or I'll pull out this autograph of Princess Zelda and present it to the bat.
The bat's like, whoa, sorry.
Yeah.
I didn't know you were here.
I remember having that problem on the GameCube too. Like the one thing they did fix that was a big issue in the 64 version and the GameCube version, the water temple is made infinitely easier because you've got quick access to your iron boots. In the original, you had to pause the game, go into your menus, you know, switch out your boots, go exit out of the menu, and you had your boots on. You do whatever you need to do. Then you needed to go unequip them. But it's just a quick access button on the 3DS, so it makes it a lot smoother, a lot quicker.
It's good because Water Temple is hard enough as it is.
Well, see, I didn't have that much problem with the Water Temple, but.
I'm not there yet, but I completely expect this game to be spoiled for me, and that's completely fine because, Josh, after we talked about Majora's Mask on that Tadpog episode, I decided, going into Ocarina of Time, I decided to use your philosophy, and I played this game up until where I got stuck, and then I kept my finger on the pulse of my frustration, and when it got to a certain level... I just looked it up and then didn't read any more ahead. I just looked up enough to get past that obstacle, and then I kept playing the game.
It's sound advice.
I have had a much more enjoyable experience with this game because of that. And I want to thank you very much for, I feel like you've unshackled me from the attitude that I've had with not using guides.
Well, see, I eventually, the reason I was able to do that and I justify it is because oftentimes it'll be something really stupid.
Oh, yeah, every time. Yeah, every time.
Yeah, you forgot to, you weren't facing the right direction to be able to talk to this person.
Right.
And yeah,
just or it was nighttime,
right?
Instead yeah, of yeah. daytime, like yeah. you can't sneak into the castle if it's night. And it took me forever to remember that. And I'm like, what's going on?
Ian, you said that you had a list that you had prepared for this game.
Well, not for the. It was like intro stuff, off top.
Oh, stuff. Intro stuff.
But it's. Maybe we'll talk about that list later and then let maybe if the viewers are interested in deciding which ones we talk about
next time,
next week.
Okay.
Part two.
All right. Okay. I misunderstood you.
No, it's fine. I didn't really make myself that clear. I did. Nah, everything I've got for the game is just notes I made about the game, but all the other stuff in the list isn't really relevant to Zelda.
So who all played this as a kid?
Oh,
because I know I did. I had a very special experience. Dave, you didn't?
No, this is my first time playing this game.
It did not exist when I was a kid. Yeah. I played it. I was in my early 20s when I played it, when it came out. Mm-hmm. That didn't stop me. I mean, I was as into this as any game I've ever been into. And it holds up. To me, I was in on the Mario 64 episode as well, and it was kind of the same thing for me. I went back and played this game again for the first time in a very, very long time, and it still held up for me. It's just one of those things that gets in your head, and it sort of stays there, you know? Mm-hmm. Very, very strong title. Absolutely worthy of all of the praise and accolades it's received over
the years. That's what I was going to ask, if you guys felt like that was well-deserved.
I mean...
I do, yeah, because I think it was a huge deal. Well, I mean, first of all, it was Zelda in 3D. There are problems with the game, which I was actually watching Sequelitis. Have you seen it's the Ocarina of Time versus Link to the Past mm-hmm. episode?
No, I haven't seen it.
Okay, he does a really good job of pointing out some of the issues with it. Which,
like with the timeline?
Yeah, well, no, with the Zelda, the spirit of the Zelda game is the one I agree with the most is spirit of the Zelda game. You're exploring. You have this huge, amazing world to explore, but it's so linear.
Ocarina of Time is linear.
Ocarina of Time and Link to the Past to an extent too, because you have like you have a literal like map that has the number of dungeons literally right. like numbered on a in the order that you need to complete them.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's not so much about exploration. It's you have a sense of that like whenever you go out into Hyrule Field the first time you're early exploring open around.
World.
Yeah. But you know you have a very specific order. The dungeons you go to, you go in. You go into a dungeon knowing that you are going to get an item in there that you're going to use to get to the final boss, uh-huh. and you're going to use
that item on the
final boss. Yeah, and it's just it's just a matter of breaking. If like they could get away from that formula, then it would be perfect. But
when did we even go so far as to say if you were like walking down towards the wrong way? Navi would pop up hey, don't you think
Listen.
It would be neat if we went to the Dodongo Cavern?
Mm-hmm. Hey, American player, this is too hard for you.
Is that not in the Japanese?
I don't know.
No, I hope it's not.
I know Final Fantasy VII did shit like that, right. So I expect it here too.
Which this is what gives me hope about the Zelda Wii U game, because it's supposed to be really like true open world.
Yeah.
Like it's got that, it's supposed to recapture that spirit of exploration.
From the original Zelda?
Yeah, I've read that a lot of people think Zelda lost its way after The Legend of Link.
Well,
because that was, those first two were just like, here's a world, fucking figure it out.
Well, yeah. Link Between Worlds did a good job of kind of recapturing that. You didn't have a certain order of these dungeons, you had all your items, like you had access to all your items at the very beginning, so you could kind of explore at your leisure. You couldn't have all of them at once, until you got enough rupees and you could buy them. But so it did it wasn't perfect, but it did a better job. That being said, that's really the only issue I have with Ocarina of Time. Other than that, yeah, it was at a like.
And you've got a long time to sort of go back and look over things when you're first sitting down playing it, mm-hmm. when it's brand new and you're a kid or you're.
Oh
young
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah. This is.
It seems enormous. That's one thing that did change for me is it didn't seem nearly as enormous as it did when I played it the first time. But
yeah, but. I mean, you've got all you've got Skyrim to compare it to. Yeah, now. Exactly. You know, you've got
Grand Theft Auto and big games.
There has to be a Legend of Zelda Skyrim mod, right?
Oh yeah, there is. Right?
I knew you would know.
Yeah. I do have one installed that gives you the Hylian Shield.
Right.
So yeah. But yeah, I remember when I first played because I had a really great experience playing this the very first time because. It was on my birthday. I got this, the Nintendo 64. I got this Ocarina of Time, and for my birthday, I got grounded.
Happy birthday!
Yeah, I got grounded. I couldn't play it, but I did anyway. I would stay up until my parents went to bed.
What'd you do to get grounded?
So I don't even remember.
Oh, man, Josh's parents grounded him over the most inane shit at the drop of a hat, and always in like the most crucial like timing or just in the worst ways.
Yeah. So I had that extra like, you know, I'm getting away with something added to it. So it was even more special. But yeah, I remember at that time you walk out into Hyrule Field and you've just got this
birds are chirping.
Yeah, huge environment and you just don't know where to go. You've never had that experience before.
And then comes the owl, which is probably the most condescending piece of shit in any video game ever. Hey, Link. I don't know. And when his head turns
upside
down.
Don't you not want me to never repeat myself again?
I didn't like the owl.
Yeah, I like the owl.
I played this as a kid, and in turn, I think it has made Josh as mad as I've ever made Josh to this day. Because I had a PlayStation.
Wiped a booger on him.
Well, I had a Virtual Boy, and then I had a Sega Saturn, and then I had a PlayStation. Like, all traded them in, one after the other. Never had the N64. Josh is the only person I knew that had one. After you played...
He is the only person who had one.
Only person. Only person.
Well, Josh and Ian.
Two were sold.
They alone bought 7.1 million copies of Ocarina of Time.
Because, Josh, like, you love this game so much, you wanted me to experience it and me to play it. So, I don't think you told your mom, but you let me borrow your Nintendo 64 and this game.
Please tell me you got grounded for it.
Probably.
Well, like, you loaned it to me. I played through the whole game. Loved it, had a great time, and like I think by the time you got the PlayStation, so you didn't care about what was going on in the N64 for a while. So I remember I just had it and let it sit there for a long time until a friend of mine from church that you didn't know really wanted to play Ocarina of Time. So I was like, oh, it's a good game. I know Josh probably want me to share it. But okay. So I loaned him your N64 and Ocarina of Time. He played it, beat it. Had it for a long time. Josh, you didn't ask about it. So, and then one of his friends that he knew that I didn't know really wanted to play Ocarina of Time. So then he loaned Josh's N64 to this kid, played it, beat it, loved it, had it for a really long time.
It would eventually come around back to me.
But I remember.
I lost mine N64. Hey, I've got one you can borrow. Right? It was where it came from.
It was like the Zelda trading game, only with.
Oh, God.
So I remember then finally, like, you got a new N64 game, and you just showed up at my house. Like, I need to get my N64 back to play this game. So I had to figure out who the fuck had it. Like, because the kid I loaned it to had, like, moved away at that point.
Oh, God.
So, like, I had to track down.
Let me write him a letter.
I had to track down who had it. Luckily, the kid who had it, my dad knew his dad from, like, high school. But... His parents had gotten a divorce, and like they had moved to like separate parts of town.
They split the N64 in half. You had to assemble both pieces together.
So it
whole time, Tyler's like been distracting me this whole time. I'm just walking around with this N64 game. He keeps coming up with these insane ways to distract me.
Yeah, the kid had like he had moved off, so I had to go to like his stepmom's house and get it back from his brother, like in some weird apartment, like in the set. It was super weird. So I got it back, gave it to Josh like 2 years after he loaned it to me. It's pretty mad at me when I was like, I don't know where it is. I loaned it to a bunch of people. But yeah, it's a pretty good game. That's why I pretty much only played this for the N64.
Well, you could have had that as your only game for the N64, and to me, it would have been worth it. I mean, it was an expensive console, and it came with a game. The Mario game, mm-hmm. Pilot Wing 64 as well, but
yeah, I had a Wave Race as well, and
yeah, Wave Race. I really liked Wave Race, but Zelda Ocarina of Time was that game that it had so much replay value for me, and you know, my oldest son loved it,
really,
except for the Skulltulas.
To this day,
my son is 23 years old, and to this day, he's terrified.
Man, those things are fucking creepy,
dude.
They are
fucking creepy. They're spiders with skull bodies, fucking grown, dude.
And like when I went into that abandoned house and the
half skull taller people, yeah,
just like pulled down.
I think you might have some more growing to do, Dave. I don't know if you're full grown. Yeah. I don't know if you're fully grown. Well,
I had forgotten about the big fucking skull tollers in the Deku Tree. I've forgotten about those things, and I'm walking up, and I'm like shooting the slingshot at the little fuckers. I'm like, yeah, fuck you, spiders. I hate spiders. I'm like John Turley Part 2. I hate spiders.
Electric Boogaloo.
And I'm walking around at the top of the thing trying to go to the door to get in and do whatever it is you got to do, and the thing pops down. This was the other day. It startled me. I mean, I was like, God damn it. God, I hate you.
Those cursed Skulltulas.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. By the way, have a really hard time with names in Zelda games. Mm. They're like impossible for me to remember because I didn't ingrain them in my memory as a child. So it's like
Kukos are chickens, Keese are bats, Like are slimes, or no, the pancake monsters are Like.
I've read that there is a fantasy editor that did an AMA on Reddit talking about all the shit fantasy he gets in and he has to review and edit. And he said that's a huge problem with people is they think that in their world, everything has to be called something different.
Yeah.
So like trying to describe a meadow, like a tree is not a tree. All the birds are different names. All the leaves are different names. Like, so it's just you need an index just to translate their weird fiction words into English.
God.
Where do we want to go from here now? We all like, all right.
I feel like I had a point. Yeah. But,
yeah.
You talking about the game feeling big is interesting to me because I was kind of relieved when I left the starting village and got out to the Hyrule Field, and it was like, oh, okay, this game isn't as big
you
as
can,
I thought it
you
would be.
You can see the castle, yes. And you can see the mountain.
Yeah, it felt huge back in the day.
Well, it did, yeah. And it's funny, too, because I think that they really, again, going back to Josh's point about the Wii U Zelda that's coming out, being big and exploring and all this stuff, I think they really started breaking ground in that with this game and then followed up with Wind Waker from the GameCube, which was actually a really big game because you had the ocean you had to cross to get where you're going and fish up treasures and stuff.
Which in the remake, they've actually shortened the distance. Yeah. No, they didn't shorten the distance.
Just
they made
the travel time.
Yeah, the travel time.
I don't know what they did. The remade version was pretty great too. Yeah. But I'm almost afraid to see how big the Wii U Zelda is going to be. I think it's going to be massive. I think it's going to be enormous, like to the point of oof.
Like, yeah, do you think it's going to be like Skyrim territory that they're going to dip into?
I doubt that. It should be.
I think that they want it to be open world. I'm sure the dungeons are going to have like a similar, you know, you have to find this item to get past, you know, this point.
It's the formula.
Yeah. And I'm sure you're not going to just be able to kill whatever NPC you want to kill. But I'm sure, yeah, it's going to have... it's going to focus more on exploration, more on go where you want, and then let that lead you to wherever. But I don't think it's treading into like Bethesda territory like that. That's not the same feel that they like to have with the Zelda game. So it's not going to be. I'm sure there, you know, just some elements to it. Just
unless you get Epona like right off the bat, you know, if you have, because I remember when I first played this game, it takes you a while to get Epona, and one of the one of the things is you've got to run across this field 75 times to get back and forth to the different zones that you need to be to be in. And I remember getting Epona and thinking, oh, thank God.
So you do eventually get
Epona
to ride. Get the horse. Okay. And there's stuff you have to do with Epona as far as like riding and shooting, and it gets pretty tricky. I mean, you're riding and you have to shoot your bow and arrow and things like that.
I remember being so amazed by that. Like, I loved horseback archery in this game whenever I first
just like in real life.
Yeah, I mean, you can't keep me off a horseback with a bow.
Yeah.
Love it.
And sometimes you guys switch.
Sometimes I'll just lay on a cat with, like, you know, a slug and a rubber band, just pretending. That's what I do.
That's why I'm never alarmed when I walk in here and you got a slug and a rubber band. I'm just like, I know what he's up to. It's not a big deal. This is not cause for concern.
I'm going to get you, Poe. I'll come back later when you're ready to record.
I wasn't a big fan of the horseback archery. I thought it was cool, but I was never good at it. I was never really good at the first person, you know, aiming. But I love the Z targeting, so that's what being just like I would pull out the bow when a bat got close to me, you know, and I could Z target and shoot it. But
and you learn how to manage your speed with the apples, and it's very similar, I think, in Majora's Mask. It's the same way, or carrots. You get bursts of speed with carrots, and you have to, I think, is there a race? I think you have to race somebody in this game.
Like, it's a, well, I know it's the big Goron sword quest. You got, there's a certain like point where you're timed.
Okay.
Yeah, you've got to pretty much get across Hyrule Field quickly. I mean, there's the little mini game where you're leaping over the whatever they're called. What the hell are they?
Fences.
What are they called? You know, fences.
The things that, you know, the things that keep the dogs out of your garbage cans.
Raccoons.
What do you guys think about the story? Because I think that's one of the things that I noticed immediately was that this game starts up and like immediately it's like different than some of the older Zelda games, because it's like, hey, we have a story to tell and we're going to let you know right up front because people are going to be talking to you. We're going to develop some NPCs that are actually interesting instead of there just being one NPC who dies in a dungeon at the beginning of the
just
game.
Just an old man, Sasserhala, just like, go here.
You're right.
There's this princess up here. I'm going to need you to go save her.
Can you
do
that?
Here's a stick. See you later. And that's it. You interact with no one else. In this, I really like that. And I think that's what helps make this game so immersive, is that either you're making fun of the characters and like, oh my God, that thing is ugly. You know, some of the faces are really
weird. I love the fucking character design.
And it's they made the most of what they had to work with.
And they're memorable.
They're very memorable. And I do think it's very engaging in that way. And I think that's what gives it that. It's not just, you know, it's not on rails. It's not you going just here. You could go off and do little side quests and little games and little things that keep you, make you feel like
Ganon's
you're
destroying
a part of it.
Hyrule. Yeah, that's great. I'm gonna go fish.
Yeah, I'm gonna go. got a mask. I got to take to this guy.
I got to put on a mask and talk to everybody. See how they react if they want to buy the mask.
Right.
But you start off like you're different because you're in Zelda's version of Fallout 3's Little Lamplight.
Yeah.
Inside this forest village of eternal children.
It's more like, I thought it was like a Hitler Youth summer camp. Because it's just all
I think that's what Iwata was really going for.
It might be, because it's just all these blonde-haired, blue-eyed children just, you know?
That are all issued
killing
fairies.
Jews in the forest.
And, well, okay, here's my weirdest moment I remember playing this game. Because when you're a kid Link in the Kokiri Forest, they think you're a Kokiri. Like, you're just a kid, you're an age. Link's different because he doesn't have a fairy. For some reason, all the Kokiri, they have fairies.
Right.
You don't have one until you find Navi, and Navi's going to go along with you. But, like, it's still untraditional, and you can't get through the forest without a fairy accompanying you. But I remember, though, the
That's
girl
That's why
who
Link
is,
dies later on.
Yep.
Yep.
There's a girl who is friendly to you named Saria.
Yeah.
She has the green hair. Like, I was like, okay, this
That's girl. How you know. She's British. Yeah. She's not German. She's fine. It's symbolism. All this is a World War II parallel.
Who's the United States? The Gorons?
Definitely probably. The Gorons. Who are like, hey, we're totally isolated, but can you destroy this cave so we can eat things?
So the Zora are clearly the French. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, good. Absolutely. They even sound French.
But I, as a kid, playing the kid, I had a crush on Saria. You know, she's a nice girl, everything, you know, nice to you. She's so sad when you leave, you regret leaving her. You don't see her again. So, like, my memory of Saria is, like, as an attractive girl. You don't see her again until, like, Lincoln is an adult.
No, you do. You get her song in The Lost Woods.
Yeah, you get her song, but, like, she's once you, like, leave the woods.
Okay.
You don't really, you don't have much involvement you don't see with her again until, like, until you're adult Link. And when you see her again, she's clearly like an 8-year-old kid. Right. And it's a very weird feeling to like have a crush on this girl. Then suddenly, yeah. Oh, she's 8 and I'm an adult.
How, I mean, yeah, especially playing it now.
Yeah. No, that's people what he was talking
for
about.
That feeling.
So how do you like Ocarina of Time? You mean the pedophile simulator?
pretty good.
It's pretty good.
I go after her with my big Goron sword. It's pretty good game. Pretty good game.
Yeah. You mentioned good character development for the characters, which the way it did Ganondorf, I was really happy with. I agree. Because, okay, my experience with Ganondorf was this. So I played the first two Zeldas. Ganon, he's this pig demon.
Right.
You know, pretty cool pig demon creature.
Pretty cool pig demon.
He loaned me $5. Yeah. It was great.
So and then in Link to the Past, all of a sudden, he's Ganondorf.
Right.
That's a stupid name, Ganondorf. He's a thief. Ganondorf, they make reference to Ganondorf the thief.
Right.
I was like, oh, that's stupid. You know, he becomes Ganon. Okay, whatever. And then in Ocarina of Time, you actually see Ganondorf. You get, you know, and he's actually pretty badass. So that really set Ganondorf up for what he would become later with, Wind Waker mm-hmm. and Twilight Princess and stuff like this really badass Ganon. So yeah, it's the way they and he's I think one of the most memorable villains in like any
even just the way he looks.
Yeah, they do a good job with his character
the
design.
Suit of armor,
yeah,
he wears and his, that hair,
his hair and his nose
hair.
And his eyes.
Very good at making him look evil.
Yeah,
look very menacing. And the scene. Well, when you go and you first meet Zelda,
yeah.
She sets you on a quest, and you're looking, and she says, "Look through the window, and you can see who I'm talking about." And there's this just brief moment where Ganon.
He like notices,
yeah,
you,
looks at you, and it cuts. And it's kind of creepy. You're like, damn, they really they plan that well.
What I think is great is in that scene, Zelda's pretty much like, "How do I know he's evil? Look at him. Look at him. I'm gonna racially profile this Gerudo.
One tear runs down Ganon's cheek. Yeah. This has been my problem all along.
The Gerudo are kind of strange.
Gerudo's Italy. In the World War II.
Definitely.
So Ganondorf Mussolini? Okay, yeah, okay, that works.
Ganondorf is Mussolini.
But, like, they're a tribe entirely of women that are, like, they dress, like, the Arabian style and dual-wield scimitars. And I guess they bring in outsiders and then, like, have sex and have children and then kill the men. I'm not sure how it works. But, like, and they only give birth to women.
I miss this part of the game.
So, yeah, that's that Ganon's been, like, prophecy for them, like, when they finally actually produce a male Gerudo, because they're all female.
So he's, like...
They don't mention like, the sex. They do mention that he's, like, only born right. What, every...
Yeah.
So like is he, like, the Gerudo stud, then? Like, how do they let him leave the kingdom? Because it's like, well, please, we need to bear your children.
He's, like, their god. He's, like, their leader at this point, just because of... The fact that he was born male, after and there's a time frame they give every so many years a male child is born.
Yeah,
is this mentioned in Ocarina of Time?
Mm-hmm.
Like this is revealed in Ocarina
of
Time.
Yeah,
that's really interesting.
So I think he's supposed to bear the Triforce of Power or something like.
Yeah, that comes.
I don't remember.
That really comes to play like in the later series,
on.
Like in Twilight Princess, they mention that it's his destiny to become. Or be to wield the Triforce of Power. So, yeah.
So Link is truly the villain of the series, then.
Yeah, really, truly. And okay, the Water Temple. Yeah, not great. That's the universal. Everybody's like, the Water Temple.
So what's so bad about it? The boots?
No, well, the boots were a big issue. It was just really frustrating. You're trying to solve a puzzle. In the middle of this, you got to adjust water levels. So you've got several different levels to think about. And you're constantly pausing, bringing up a different screen to equip these boots. And then, you know, you come back and you're not sure where you are anymore. But
there will be areas in the Water Temple where you have to go to this level, but you have to solve this puzzle to get the water
to raise the water to that level.
This level. So that you can float up there and get to it, and then you have to go back and lower the water to a different level. Even if you were reading through it in a strategy guide, that part is very... It'll say, now, you have to do it in this order. Figuring that out on your own without any help whatsoever would be a colossal task.
Well, the way Josh describes it, it makes me think of, like, anytime I step out of a store in the mall where I've spent at least 10 minutes in there, and I step out and I'm like... Oh, which way do I fucking go? I don't know.
It's sort of like
food court this way.
Where's the Chick-fil-A?
And that's why the DS, the quick version, or the quick boots, like the quick equip and unequip, is a lot, makes it a lot easier.
Because you have three different pairs of boots you have to alternate with and fuck with in the course of the game.
Yeah, the hover boots. I hate the hover boots. It was just a lazy item you use like once or twice. Yeah. And
but you know in the water where you... When you first, you can dive,
mm-hmm.
and you get like 3 seconds to get, and then you automatically float back up.
Right.
The boots make you sink to the bottom, and you can walk on the bottom without.
Yeah, carrying them in your hand doesn't make you sink.
Link doesn't suicide when you do that?
Because of you get a quest from the Zora that allows you to breathe underwater.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
right. The iron boots were cool because you got to explore a new area now. You get to sink to the bottom of whatever pond, river, you know, Lake Halea. You got to explore that area now. The hover boots, you just like floated like two squares. If there was a square gap or something like that.
It was super slippery.
It was like walking on ice. So it was really frustrating just to have those on, yeah.
But see, everybody bitches about the Water Temple. That's what's notoriously bad about the game. But what I thought was less fun, and I don't hear about it bitching as much, is when Link has to sneak through the Gerudo camp.
No.
Because I think that, I mean, you're fighting... One, I hate the whole stealth segments and things like that anyway, but the camera is still... They haven't found through the camera yet.
Yeah, the camera's interesting in this game.
Having to move the camera around, you can't really see around the corner, so you're just kind of guessing. And, of course, as soon as you step out, you'll get caught and like kicked out to a certain area that you get to do it all over again. So it's just trial and error. You can't like peek around and see and figure stuff out. It's just...
Which I remembered something I want to bring up, which I think you will think is amusing, Dave.
I will.
I didn't find this out until today, actually, but they wanted to make a first-person game. They wanted to make this 3D Zelda game first-person.
Uh-huh.
And
some of it is, like the slingshot.
Yeah, whenever you're aiming and stuff. But, the reason they did not, they made it third-person, was because they thought Link looked really good. They just thought the character model was so good they couldn't not show him.
He does look better than he does in Smash Brothers. I didn't get grown up Link. I didn't get that far in the game, but like young Link looks a lot, but he does not look nearly as creepy as Link in Smash Brothers. Like Link in Smash Brothers looks creepier than the Skulltulas. I mean, he's just like freakish. I'm glad that you brought up the stealth segments because I was thinking of you, Tyler, when I was stealthing through the castle courtyard. I was curious,
so
like,
frustrating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love stealth games,
apparently.
All of that in any Zelda, pretty much any game. God, I fucking hate it. It's a part I hated about Paper Mario. The only part I really hated.
The princess parts.
Yeah.
See, I liked it. I liked it in the castle courtyard when you're trying to sneak through as Kid Link. I thought that was pretty good. I remember it wasn't too challenging, but yeah, you see this guard coming around the corner, and you've got to collect these rupees. Do you go for the rupees?
Right. Do you go challenging rounds or not? Yeah.
But I remember being really frustrated too at the Gerudo Forest. But I think there is some like a glitch you can exploit or something to like skip most of that.
You dress up like as a man. Link's not a man. Everyone knows that. You dress up as a man and all the women are like, I'm craving some of that. I haven't had any of that ever.
As ladies tend to do.
The camera, I think, is interesting. I'm glad you bring it up because going from Mario 64 to Ocarina of Time is weird because the camera is like super free. And you can actually Mario 64,
turn all
you
can the way
move
around.
It all the way around. Mm-hmm. You can check out different angles. It was the first hour playing this game. I felt really restrained because the camera is always behind Link. It's right. I mean, yes. Unless I missed something, it was always behind me, and I could use one of the buttons to just kind of center the camera on whatever direction that Link was facing. That took a little getting used to, and I wish they would have done the Mario 64 route because I feel like
there's Zelda Kitus in the Zelda universe.
Yeah, that's why they could have done a Keys.
No,
or that damn owl.
There is a definite crossover. There's a definite crossover because you get the paintings. Did you see the paintings in Hyrule Castle?
No.
There's paintings of Bowser, Peach, Mario.
Really?
Yeah.
I fought some ghosts that look like Mario and Luigi.
The owners of the Lon Lon Ranch.
Yeah.
Who not only look like they have a Bowser medallion. Like, I don't know if you zoom in, he's wearing like a Bowser pendant.
And they look very much slovenly Mario. It's like Darkest Timeline, Mario and Luigi. They're running a ranch. They fucking hate each other.
Yeah. Some of those alt art things.
Yeah. You know,
like, Mario picking his nose or something, flinging a booger on Luigi.
Luigi, I can't remember what his character's name is in Ocarina of Time because it's Marin.
Malon.
Is it Marin? Did they change the name from Link's Awakening? Because
it looks like the same, sort of the same characters.
And like he has a daughter like he does in Ocarina of Time. But whatever the Luigi character is, I love that he's like super fucking surly. And he is like, that motherfucker doesn't do anything. He's I do all the work around here. I should be the boss around here. I love it.
You mentioned the camera, and that kind of made me think about the controls, which you haven't talked a whole lot about. And I was really fond of the controls for this game because, first of all, the Z targeting thing.
Yeah, that was, and it was huge.
And it comes back to you like so quickly.
I was just doing a playthrough of Dark Souls.
Yeah,
and that was funny. It is pretty much the exact. I mean, they use that exact Z target system.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what I was thinking of when I was playing this game.
Toggling Dark through Souls. Your targets, and you pick them, and it's nice because you can work on this guy. And when this one comes at you, you target him, and you work on him.
The combat allows you to focus, which you know it changes your moveset too. Yeah, you get.
And I thought that it was really nice that they designed the game in such a way that you don't necessarily have to jump.
Yeah,
you walk off of ledges and you automatically jump.
Yeah,
or you automatically climb or whatever. They sort of thought, you know, we've got this analog stick. People still.
There are going to be enough platforms on this system. Let's just not let you jump.
I like that because it's like they take a lot of that platforming aspect out of it, which I think is like, I mean, it is one of my biggest complaints about Super Mario RPG is the weird isometric platforming that you have to do. So it's like they take this. I mean, some people would call, I would call it an action RPG. I know I'll probably get hate for that. I would consider this game an action RPG. Yeah. They take a lot of the platforming out of it.
I stand with you, Dave.
Yeah, you do?
Yeah.
All right, good. They take a lot of that out of it, so if you're not good at platformers, you can still
You're enjoy not going to immediately hate it. And, you know, you're more likely to, if you fall out, you're not going to fall down a chasm or something, and if you do stumble and fall off a cliff, you're going to grab the edge first. I mean, they give you plenty of opportunities to not die.
Yeah,
and it's a lot more forgiving. Even and if I you like fall that. Into lava, you're like Which you lose super, a couple hearts.
Yeah. Super yeah. frustrating because yeah. like every time that happened, it was like in the fire temple or whatever. Yeah. Every time I would do it and fall in the lava, it's like. I gotta like now I have to go like all the way back to the beginning and like try it all over again because it doesn't kill you, but there were times where it was like I would just stand in the lava because it's like if I just stand here it'll kill me and I'll get to start at a better position than I am right now.
I always thought the thing about Zelda games across the board that just pissed me off, it knows when you need hearts, and it will not fucking get it. Yeah. And especially when you're down to the one half heart, and it starts beeping.
Yep.
And it will not fucking stop beeping.
Nope. Drop rate, yep, plummets.
Are
you at full hearts? Everything's going to give you a heart. Everything.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. And then you're down to one half heart. The beeping's driving you to insanity. Mm-hmm. You're about to just throw the controller, and they give you rupees. You're about to go in and fight a boss. They give you rupees. You get some Deku nuts. You get some arrows. You
have
get
a stick.
You get there a you few go. Fucking things oh, that you oh, holy can't shit. Possibly
here's
use.
Here's a fairy immediately flies over the pit of lava. Yeah. Yeah.
You want this? Yeah. Try your last half heart on that, sucker. Yeah, so it knows. It knows. It hates me.
Hero hates mode everybody. Is an interesting different challenge level most of the time in the later games. If after you beat the game, you can try it on hero mode, which the game just does not give you hearts. You can still get like potions and stuff to heal.
Damn.
But yeah, no more cutting down bushes, breaking open pots.
You
no
have
more
to
hearts,
be a
yeah.
pretty sadistic son of a bitch. I mean, you have to really like being pissed off to play hero mode. It makes it like you start over in hero mode and then all of a sudden you're like, you walk through the forest at the beginning. You've literally just destroyed everything in this game. You are the greatest thing ever. And then you're back to the beginning of the game. You walk through the forest and you're dead.
And then you physically, in real life, turn into one of those spider creatures.
Oh.
That's where they come from. They come from people trying to beat the game on hero mode.
That's right.
And fail.
I've never realized, but you're right.
But I know this game had the same sort of, there were the same development issues here that were in Mario 64. And so you can kind of see some of them, like Mario 64 could only provide a set number of environments and then just changed, you know, the goal every time you'd go in. So, I mean, they got to use the same art assets and not take up more time, but still give more gameplay.
Right.
Like the same here, only they use time travel later on. So as adult Link, everything sort of feels like new and you go back, but they're using the same assets all over again to make
they
the
just
game
kind of changed
longer.
Them a little bit.
Yeah, because of the time
added
aspect.
A darker twist too. Because whenever you know, as far as the story is concerned, whenever you travel, you become Adult Link. You're basically just traveling forward. I think it's like 7 years.
7 years.
Yeah.
And Ganon has taken over.
Oh, okay.
And instead of
it's
this,
Back to the Future 2.
Right? I was about to say, yeah. So this is definitely a Biff Tannen
yes,
experience.
This is
we
Biff
got
Tannen universe.
All right.
So whenever you come out of the
Ganondorf
temple
has
time,
an almanac.
Or a strategy guide, Zelda strategy.
Yeah.
You see the tank rolling through town.
The wild dogs. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you go in from the Temple of Time. You're as a kid, you're going through this market town. Everybody's happy, and this happy music's playing. This very upbeat music. You go in Temple of Time, come back out as an adult, and this like dismal.
Oh, it's
yeah, it's
so
dark, and the town's filled with re-dead, which are the zombies.
Man, re-dead in this game are fucking creepy, dude.
Yeah.
The scream that they make, and the fact that it pauses briefly when you get into one's those things.
So have you killed one?
Truly
yeah,
scary.
I've killed one.
So you kill one, and then step back. And then watch all the other redead in the area go to check on it.
Oh, no. The one I killed was isolated. He was, like, by himself.
Kill them in a group, and they'll all like turn and go to check on whoever you just killed.
Are they checking on it or eating it?
I don't remember because I just ran the fuck away.
But they don't.
Because I like to think they're eating. Like, that's how creepy they are. They're like, thank you for killing our friend.
Because they are very hard to kill. Until you get the, was it the Sunlight Song?
Yeah.
They're extremely hard to kill. Even then, you know, it's just easier freezes to just, them. Yeah, it's easier to just freeze them and run away.
I mean, those Skulltolas were scary. These things are legitimately fucking creepy.
What I love about them.
To this day, I, when I hear that scream, it gets you.
And the sound.
In your soul.
It works. Like, and it's weird because like, I can't imagine it working like if that was a high fidelity sound. Uh-uh. Like there's something about it being like a low quality.
Yeah.
Like heavily compressed scream where it's just like they really must have spent like a couple weeks on this where they're like not scary enough
because there's no because to save on space there that's why there's no voice acting like at all because I think it was proposed
except listen
then, otherwise they cut it back for the music because I think the music in this game is amazing
The music's wonderful.
You get those songs stuck in your head. I've actually still got Saria's song.
Yeah,
right now.
Stuck
in my head. Dun, dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun. And I love that I now know what that song is called because I didn't know that was Saria's song. Gotcha. Now I know that's Saria's song.
My complaint, like if they're not going to do the voice acting, so it's heavily text. Like, let us choose the text speed.
Super slow.
Oh my lord!
The speed run that I was watching. They chose the Chinese version of the game because of the text. It's faster text.
Fucking speedrunners. Yeah. I feel like such like a fucking Imperial stormtrooper. Like when I hear about like speedrunners, I just imagine them like a stormtrooper thinks of Han Solo. It's like that show off motherfucker. Like you just do whatever it takes to go faster.
So much for following the rules.
So you're a speedrunner? Yeah. You don't like having fun? No.
No, I hate it. I just hate it.
Fun's for wimps.
I like being fresh, like sitting down to play a game for 8 hours, only being satisfied like for 30 seconds. Otherwise, I like that constant just endless frustration and fuck if I just done this. Fuck, I fucked that up. Restart, fuck. But just for that 30 seconds, yeah.
It's not a speed run, but I do want to mention one of the videos I watched is done by a guy named Brandon to the Past.
It's pretty good.
It's 50 unanswered questions about Zelda. The video's pretty shitty. The only reason I'm mentioning it is because Nicole thought for sure it was your brother, Tyler, that did the video. Based on the way this guy sounds...
I'm a brain into the past.
So please include it in the show notes. And think of your brother whenever you're listening.
I was talking to Ryan the other day when we had dinner at my mom's. He was like, yeah, listen to my episode again. Makes me feel really bad because I did not think I sounded that country. And then, holy shit, I sound like a stupid egg.
You've told me that like the first year. I remember you were super self-conscious about how you sounded.
Because when my dad listened to himself, like after about 30 seconds, he was just, turn it off.
Tyler, I don't sound like that.
Tyler, these jokes aren't very funny.
Oh no, he laughed at his own jokes again. It was just his southern accent that drove him crazy.
Did you hear when I said she went up on me?
Almost didn't tell that one.
Let's see. Oh yeah, wanted to mention.
Let's refer to ourselves as our name to the past for the rest of this episode.
Like, I love that idea.
Hey, and David the past. You have anything else to add?
Yes, Tyler the past.
The combat system, which I know we've briefly mentioned, the one big thing that was huge to me, I remember when playing, things like shields and like the Skulltolas were a big one because you can only hit them from their belly. I was completely unused to that in any game, like just like a shield actually working and not just reducing damage. Instead of 20 points, you're only taking 13 because you got a shield. It actually bounces off, you know,
whenever you use it.
Yeah.
You have to use it to get those little Deku scrubs or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they operate differently too, which I didn't like at first because like the Hylian shield.
You can't lift. You can't.
Yeah, you don't hold it up in front of you. You kind of like just go in like turtle mode.
But it protects you going up the mountain.
Yeah.
The rocks and stuff. You can shield underneath.
So it's interesting.
So, just that's like it blew my mind when, it just you know, I was just used to, yeah, equipping a shield in an RPG, you take less damage, and now the shields actually work.
So I had forgotten about the Hylian shield, you not being able to lift it as a child.
Yeah.
And the shopkeep that you buy it from in Kakariko Village or whatever says, well, I mean, I've got this Hylian shield, but a little kid like you couldn't. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, then why the fuck are you selling it to me? I'll take two. Then I remembered, oh, shit, I can't actually use the shield or anything.
But, yeah, it adds different strategies to combat. You know, you're deflecting attacks and attacking when they let their guard down.
So. And your old shield now all of a sudden has a use still. Yeah. I like that, too.
Hearing you talk about this difference between Kid Link and Adult Link, like, you do also the climactic moment of this game is sort of just a take off big because, like, Link's the only one that can save us. He's too little, though. I gotta make him big. So, like, there's that the time, like, they take you to that moment of time where then you just age 7 years. Like, so Link mentally still gotta be 7 years.
Yeah, they just kind of gloss over that. Yeah.
So it's like, my dick is so big.
Does he seduce an older woman?
He goes ride for a childhood friend. It's super weird.
Well, and it is whenever he switches in the Temple of Time. When he changes to Adult Link, you actually see him sort of check himself out, and you almost expect him to pull his fucking belt out. Like, damn.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Hair. Unless Hylian
it's the same size. It's
look at all that hair.
Man. Woo.
Maybe all Hylians are just all baby smooth. They're all twinks. Just
level 19 twinks, every one of them.
Wait, World of Warcraft twinks? Or?
Both? Both. Same thing.
Sure.
Oh, this game makes me hate lists because I'm not through with this game.
This made you hate David Letterman.
Oh, he just like throw those cards like he's some kind of like Han Solo. No, I hate it because this game is, I think, way better than Majora's Mask. But I would have enjoyed Majora's Mask better if I had played this game first. Even a little bit of this game.
Yeah.
I would have enjoyed Majora's Mask better.
That was the idea. I mean, obviously. You know, I never really got to weigh in on Majora's Mask. I didn't care for Majora's Mask. I, in fact, never finished it. For one, it creeped me out too much. And for two, I was just, to me, that game didn't hold a candle to Ocarina of Time. It's almost like I couldn't be bothered with it. Yeah. And maybe that could have had something to do with my age at the time. Because like I said, I was an adult when these games came out and I played them. And I thought, fuck that. I don't care about it. And that moon is creeping me out and, you know, all that. But, no, I'm with you on that. I think if you had done Ocarina first,
I would have had at least a better chance of enjoying
Majora's Mask more because you would have been more familiar with what's kind of going on. Although it's a different story, a different world type thing. But
especially
more familiar to you.
Especially whenever it first came out because that was the only 3D Zelda you had was Ocarina of Time and then Majora's Mask came out. You were wanted more. You played the shit out of Ocarina of Time. Yeah, you just wanted more and then they came out with Majora's Mask.
And it worked. It's not as...
And
it's not
different enough, but it was similar enough too. So.
And it's not to say that Majora's Mask was a weak title by any means, but...
Because you were so excited and pre-ordered it, and you played it, and I was like, how is it?
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah.
It's not as good as the first. And it wasn't a weak title, but it wasn't, to me, as enjoyable as Ocarina.
Well, playing through this list, it sucks because it feels like every kind of introduction to a property on the N64 has been, like, the shittiest one. Because it's like, here you go. Here's an introduction to what Zelda games are like on the N64.
Right.
Okay. Wow.
Now, I don't know why a random thought popped in my head about, like, Ocarina and using the Ocarina. So, like, I'm sure the joke's been made somewhere. I'm sure someone's made a video of, like, Ocarina Hero. Of trying to play that like you'd play Guitar Hero. And just trying to actually play an Ocarina to, like, cheering Hylian fans.
They made that game.
Yeah?
Yeah, they did. It's called Hey Ocarina. You like that?
Nice.
You like that joke?
Nice, that was good.
Yeah.
Good callback.
I bet that would brew it. That one was percolating.
Like the percolator, another because right after they played the Macarena, you would hear the percolator on my middle school dances. So yeah,
yeah. We played that in pep band.
Oh man,
I was thinking there was an iPhone app that is an ocarina, and it's part of some music game type thing, and where you get an ocarina and you can play it. I can't remember the name of it though. I'll have to look that up. Maybe we'll put that in the show notes too.
Mm-hmm. I'm down.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't exist, let's develop it and then go back in time. We'll use our ocarinas. Now I can't say it. It's fucking infectious. We'll use our Orochimarus and go back in time. And
we'll blow our Orochimarus. It'll be great.
That's how all time travel ultimately works. You have to blow a dude.
You suck off an old scientist.
That's why nobody wants to do it.
Yeah, that's why movies always do it kind of differently, because it's like, all right, you get in this DeLorean and then shrug. We can't really show you how it works.
But the world does work on a series of blowjobs. Yeah. So that's how it works. Yeah. That Mr. Show sketch had it right. But I went to Harvard. We know you did. This is going to be such a good blowjob. We're very excited.
I'm so glad you know Mr. Show.
Fuck yeah.
Oh, my God. Man.
Is it coming
Mayo
back
mustard
today?
And mustard mayonnaise is my favorite sketch of the whole series.
I heard rumors that it was coming back.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It absolutely is.
I love just the, remember, I memorized the two things. Remember, I memorized the cursing preachers.
Can I get a?
I'm king shit on fuck mountain.
Can I get a fucking A?
And then were they there? Remember they were dancing around each other. That we are friends again. AF. I fart on your fart. I shit on your fart. I shit on your shit.
So many good sketches.
I see. I feel like we need to plug. What's Paul playing today?
Yeah, he did a.
He keeps making these videos. We keep forgetting to mention it on the show, so I made sure I wrote it down this time.
Also, I want to mention Paul again. Mm-hmm. I had the most fun I had in a long time watching him play Heroes of the Storm on Twitch. And Chandra and I were in there, and the entire time he was playing Heroes of the Storm, she and I were writing StarCraft erotic fiction in his chat. And it was the most fun I've had in that game. It's the most fun I've had this week. I mean, it was a very beautiful thing.
So that could be a good Patreon reward. Write erotica with Chandra. let's see. I forget his name. I know his Steam name is Bane_1. Wanted to buy us Lisa to play on Steam. He bought you Lisa. I already had it, so he bought me Undertale. So Lisa and Undertale, two Steam games inspired by Earthbound.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Super excited. Super excited.
I know we've got another Patreon donation since we're thanking people. I'm super prepared. So super prepared. Hey, Josh, you didn't want to thank anybody real quick?
Josh, what are you thankful for?
I want to thank you guys.
Thanksgiving's coming up.
For doing the show.
Thanksgiving's coming up, Josh. What are you thankful for?
You guys. Okay. I'm just thankful for you guys.
Fuck you, Nicole.
Well, I have something.
Not my parents.
I have something that I brought with me that you guys might find interesting.
It's my dick.
It is. I brought a letter from John Turley.
What?
Yeah.
I have a letter here from John Turley. He wrote me
from Basic Training.
Yes. Right. So I
didn't write us.
That's because I'm awesome. Well, I'm going to read this letter to you guys. Is that
authorized?
I don't care.
I offered to let him grope Meg one time. Motherfucker can't write me a letter.
Yes, I
can't explain it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm authorizing it because this letter was addressed to me. and I'll tell you why he wrote me a letter. It's by the first line of the letter. Hey, man, I got a big favor to ask you.
I need to go back in time.
No. Okay, so it's dated 9/21. Ian, hey, man, I got a big favor to ask you. I've sent 8 letters to Andy and have yet to get one back. The mail here is pretty fucked up, so it may just be backed up. But if you get this, please call her and check on her and the boys. Gives me her phone number, which I'm not going to say.
Right. Andy being his wife.
Andy, yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. That's a female wife, so
Andrea.
I've sent 8 letters to Andy from Toy Story, and he has not written me back.
I've sent letters to Andrew W.K. What happened to Andrew W.K.? He's dead, John. He died.
So he asks me to confirm with her that her address, that the address he's using is right.
He forgot his own address.
No, she's staying with her parents. She and the boys are staying with her parents to help out. So,
to be fair, forgetting John's address is a very John thing to do.
It would actually be. I mean, who mails themselves, right? If she has gotten my letters in reply, please confirm that she's sending them to me at, and I've got his address. I'll give it to you guys. You've got to write him a letter.
I think we should totally give that out on air.
Maybe
you want to put it in the show notes. You can put his address in the show notes.
How fucking good would that be?
It would be amazing if John Turley was flooded
with letters.
With letters.
Oh, man.
From listeners.
I
saying how much we miss him.
Or just because we got that 1 5-star review that said less John Turley. So just send John a hate mail too. We're glad you're gone.
Do you want to get him in trouble at basic training? Make him run more? Send him more letters.
Oh.
Send him dick pics. Send him whatever.
Let's talk about that off air. Don't send him dick pics. Oh, God. Okay, John. I've known you a long time, buddy, and I'm so sorry. Maybe this was a bad idea. So anyway, he says, here's the address, blah, blah, blah. I hope things are going well with you. I hope work is okay. He really doesn't. I know he doesn't. This is vacation for him compared to we work together, in case you all in the Tadpog Nation don't know this. I miss hanging out and being able to talk with you. This place is like a cross between boarding school and prison. Minimum security. He puts minimum security in parentheses. Not maximum security.
Right.
Not much rape going on, I guess.
Just a lot of golf.
It's more
Orange
Is the New Black.
Except I did mention in the last time I was here, minimum security prisoners get to use the phone. He does not. So it's a little worse. I'm told it will get better. Of course you're told that. Of course. But the first couple weeks have been hellish. Got an 8K, 4.3-mile ruck march tomorrow to the hand grenade range.
Well, that part sounds fun. The hand grenade range sounds fun.
In the reply, I told him, I said, listen, this may be, by the time you get, I wrote him a letter. I wrote him a nice letter in return, and I said, you know, by the time you get this may be old hat to you, but you realize you just said I'm getting ready to hike to go throw hand grenades. Come on.
What I think is interesting is that's totally planned, right? They're like, we're gonna like wear these fuckers out before we give them hand grenades.
I can barely hold up my arm. This is a bad,
so what are we gonna,
a bad choice. What?
It's like GoldenEye hand grenades all of a sudden.
So what's on the docket today? Well, you're going to do 500 pull-ups, and then we're going to give you live hand grenades.
Good luck with that.
Cast iron hand grenades.
Okay, so he says, anyway, rucksack going to weigh about 55 to 60 pounds. It's rough, but as long as I can stay healthy, I'll make it.
As long as I don't get dysentery or Oregon Trail style.
I tell you this, I might never complain about work again. Okay, not for a while anyway. I'm glad he qualified that statement.
I'm about to say.
Not until your white privilege sets back in.
Every one of you, and I'm no better, but every one of you knows John Turley. He will complain about work again, probably on day 2. Tired and hungry are constant conditions. Still, I'm committed. It's close to lights out, so I got to cut it short. Love you and miss you, man. Tell those guys at work I miss them, too. Thanks for checking on this shit for me. Tell Andy I love her and the boys and miss them like hell. And he signed it, John Turley.
Who? John, you no love for Tadpog?
I did tell him in my reply, though, that I had recorded an episode of Tadpog with you guys, so I'm hoping that he will write me back. I don't know if they're holding back the mail because it's early basic. You know, I don't know if they do that. I don't know what the deal is. But I'm hoping to hear back from him. And my mission at this point is to onslaught him with mail. I'm going to give the mail his mailing address to everyone at work. And if y'all feel it is appropriate, we could certainly put that out there on the show notes for Tadpog.
Yeah, I'm happy to do that. If you authorize it.
I don't know if I'm
this is on your authorization.
I was authorized to read the letter because it says me on there.
You have the most like day-to-day interaction with Burger
Bottom. We'll say Zach authorized it. It's fine.
I'm down. I think it would be great. I think he would love it. I think
one thing I know about John Turley, letters from strangers, loves them.
In all honesty, of anyone, he would appreciate it. So we just have to put some disclaimers out. Please don't send him like porn or weed or something.
Everybody looks at John Turley.
Let's just give you more ideas of shit. Please don't send him, I don't know, top secret documents that you might have found.
Send him a letter and redact everything. Yeah. Pre-redact everything in your letters that you send him. But I just wanted everyone to know that John is doing okay.
Thank you. I'm glad.
He loves the show, so somebody transcribe all of the episodes he's missed, and we'll just send him...
Mail those. Just these thick-ass envelopes.
I'm hoping he'll have some internet access by the time he gets out of the... Because he'll have his training. Like, after he gets out of basic, there's advanced training, which is like what he's going to be doing... which I believe is going to be transportation type stuff.
It's when he goes out in the car with Denzel.
Yeah. Training day. I believe he'll have more contact, more freedom to do stuff then. So maybe he'll be able to listen to some Tadpog. God, I hope so. I hope he listens to it before he comes back.
He'll figure it out, I think, when he gets a bunch of mail.
He'll get it.
Yeah.
I'm loving it. I can't wait.
Oh, man.
Thank you for the, not just the longest, but probably the best stall on this podcast.
My pleasure.
I want to thank Sean Muldowney for his pledge on Patreon. Mm-hmm. I hope you enjoy the bonus episode that we did.
Yeah. Anything last minute? I mean, we'll still have another at least hour and a half.
I have a list of topics that I was going to talk about in the intro this morning.
It's a that's long a recording.
Yeah, we started.
I made the
ago.
List this morning. I was going to talk about it, and it was not that anyone out there knows me yet or has any desire to know me. But I have
give
a list.
Give your address out. See if you get some letters.
I have a list. Yeah, let's have your address that I was going to discuss, and I think maybe if anybody cares to give feedback. I will be here for next week's episode to do part two of Ocarina of Time. We could see if anybody's interested in hearing any of the topics that I have on my list.
Yeah, what are the topics?
Cool with that?
Hate this level.
That is the
welcome,
first topic.
Welcome to the show, Meg.
Okay, I have a sort of Adam Sandler-ish, Billy Madison-esque parallel parking story.
Okay, all right.
I have a rant about a local restaurant and their lack of chicken tenders slash fast food restaurants experiences.
That's already got my vote, but...
We call them chicken tendies.
Yeah, chicken tendies.
Tendies. That's right. I knew this. Of course, I already read letters from John Turley, which if I get more letters from John Turley, I absolutely will come here and read them on the podcast.
Excellent. I hope his next letter is, please, please, please do not give my address to strangers on the internet.
I have a couple of really stupid Nintendo 64 lists. Like, one of them's a BuzzFeed list, which I just hate.
The best. Mm-hmm. Come on, best.
Teeth cringing. Speaking of teeth... wisdom teeth talked about yesterday on the one from Monday, and that was yesterday
for us
right,
but all the listeners are going to play their ocarinas tonight and listen to this tomorrow.
It was just a quick aside. Basically, I absolutely cried like a baby when I woke up from my, and I was an adult.
I'm glad like that makes me feel better.
Weeping, not even sad, even in pain, just could not stop weeping.
I failed to mention this part of the story. Nikki says that I kept crying out for my teeth back.
Oh, that's good.
I missed them.
Well, at least you knew yours were gone. I had no idea what was going on. I don't even know why I'm crying. That's not really much. That's pretty much that one. So that goes off the
list. All right. Okay.
I just wanted you to feel better about being a fully grown man, having your wisdom teeth removed.
Well, I'm not fully grown.
Well, you know.
We covered that. But ish.
And crying like a baby. And then the last one is my wife is considering selling her panties online.
Okay.
And we can discuss any of these topics that you want to next time if the nation wants to weigh in. I'm happy to discuss it.
All right. I think that's a good, like... That's a good Facebook thing. On the post, let us know what intro story you
have. I
have
a pretty good idea what at least one of them is going to be.
Chicken tendies.
See, now, you said selling panties. Let me think about John's story again. So that makes me think, like, his next letter.
That time
like,
John sold his panties.
I need you to do me a favor.
You need to send me your wife's panties. Okay, Tadpog Nation, send him panties.
Send John his dirty, soiled panties. That's what he needs to get off.
So you realize that he's going to be able to really kick my ass. I mean, he could probably have done it anyway. Now he's going to have training.
Well, now it'll
he's
be
going to be
we're now it'll be brave. Super legal because he's trained.
Exactly.
So
we're pretty brave behind the microphone. It's fine. It's fine.
Notice that there's another page in that letter you didn't read. Like, need you to do me a favor and wait for a long time. And he's a woman with needs. So. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. You can find the show on iTunes, Stitcher, or SoundCloud. So I didn't miss the next episode. Other Shit Monday, I don't know. We'll figure it out.
Something.
Next Wednesday will be part two of Ocarina Enough Time.
Okay. Quick aside. Do we have enough content to talk about next Wednesday?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Because I feel like this was like a really jam-packed
episode. We got in there.
Episode. Yeah. Okay, good.
I mean, I feel like there's a lot more story to talk about, a lot more. Okay. We haven't delved into like the levels or like we wound up at the water temple.
Okay,
that's like it. And they're still.
I just want to make sure because I don't want it to be one where I'll show up and it's like. I mean, what more is there to say about Ocarina of Time?
We'll just talk about John for an hour. It'll be there.
You can get four different bottles. Holy shit!
Oh. Does one of those have milk in it?
Man, just read from Wikipedia for tell us about the bottle straight from Wikipedia.
We can bring quizzes back. Which Ocarina of Time shield are you?
You're the original shield that had the cross on it that was banned because they didn't want too many Christian overtones.
Yeah.
iTunes, still the biggest marketplace. Need those 5-star reviews, so please go there, subscribe, write us a 5-star written review. Try to make it sweeter on you, so if there's a game you want us to play or a guest host you want on a certain episode, leave that in your review. And whatever you put in that, we promise we will get to it
eventually. Don't worry, guys. Like Tyler said, we're going to be back. We're going to be talking about something
eventually,
on
Josh.
Monday. Yeah.
He's only been here twice. Josh, you've been here so many times.
Josh refused the eventually.
I never say eventually.
Coming for you, Josh.
Climbing the Tadpog ladder over here. In the meantime, you can always find us on tadpog.com. That's where the show notes live. And that's where you can find John Turley's mailing address. If you decide to send him just whatever,
Please do. Just
whatever you want.
Write a letter. Whoever your favorite video game character is, just write a letter as them.
That character.
Just whatever weird shit you want to do. Write it in Elven, whatever you want to do.
StarCraft erotic fan fiction. I feel like that's probably fine, right? That's probably fine.
Can John speak Klingon?
Fluently.
Probably. I think he knows a few words. We both sort of do.
Hand-drawn Counter-Strike maps. He would enjoy that.
Mm-hmm. He's actually in the Klingon National Guard. It's not the United States National Guard.
That's why the mail is having so much trouble getting to him.
It's very, very rare they let a human in, let alone one named John, but they did.
Baitlith training is a bitch.
So there's also show notes there. So check it out, tadpog.com. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/tadpog. There's a lot of cool people there doing a lot of cool shit. Tyler will normally make an episode post there. That is the perfect place to tell us that you want to hear Ian tell the story about his wife selling her panties online. Or thinking about it.
Considering selling her panties online.
Or she'd take the panties and just rub chicken tendies in them real good. So she gets like this weird chicken greasy smell. Sell the panties.
It's also the What is it, milk or liquor? One, probably both. Where they
I get those confused too.
Yeah. Milk, liquor. They
just, Kenna is drunk a lot. Yes.
They just pour it over their exposed breasts and rebottle it and sell milk. It for ridiculous milk. Amounts yep. of money. Yeah. Yes.
Or they'll gargle it and spit it back. Yeah, I've seen that. Like $80 a pint. Yeah.
Jeez.
That's something else to consider. Yeah.
Ian, I like to think that this is like the most brilliant fucking marketing scheme you've come up with, where it's like you and your wife have already decided that you're going to sell panties. And it's like you're just like building it up on the show. And then when you come back on Wednesday, you'd be like, all right, she's decided to do it. If you want to order it, go to this website.
And did you watch season 3 of Orange is the New Black?
We're in the midst of it. We're in the midst of it. Okay. Don't spoil it.
Okay.
Yeah, we're literally on like episode 4, so okay. Don't tell me.
John Turley makes an appearance. Sorry, I had this point.
that's where he is. That's his minimum security prison.
That is also Klingon basic training. you can find us on Twitter. We are at @tadpog_podcast. It's cumbersome, I realize. Thank you for everybody who is tweeting at us and especially retweeting us. That is like one of the best ways to spread the word about the show. So I really do appreciate it when you do that. Also, if Facebook's not your bag, chime in on Twitter and let us know what Ian's story you want to hear. You can call us if you want. Probably don't call and say what Ian's story you want to hear because we'll be playing it in January.
Like next year.
Yeah. But if you want to call anyway, you can do that at 270-883-2555. You can actually call now and probably catch John Turley on his next episode of Tadpog. you can also text to that number. If you do, I promise that I will fuck it up when I read it on the show. Finally, we have a Patreon, and if you've just been sitting there a whole episode being like, man, I just wish I could give these guys some money. You can do that. You can finally sleep at night knowing that you can give us money if you want to, at patreon.com/tadpog. Mm-hmm. Thank you very, very, very much for everybody who's doing that already. It's incredible that we are entirely listener supported. I think that's amazing. We really do appreciate it. It makes us feel good about this thing that we do. Theme song, intro song?
Ian.
That'd be Moves.
Josh, who's it by?
If I had to guess, just a Sycamore Drive. Mm-hmm, just off the top of my head.
Dave, where can a link to that track be found?
In the show notes at tadpog.com.
How should we close this out?
Like the sexiest man in Gerudo?
Yep.
Okay.
So until next time, Dragon Capricorn, we all think this is sexy. Every one of us defines sexy. It's this.
Meg, can you confirm?
It's throat cancer.
Can you rate that on the sexiness scale? Like a 7.
Out of what?
I'll take a 7.
I'll take it. Yeah, really. Yeah.
Out of what? 100? Like 16?
36.
She doesn't even know what's going on now.
Distracted attitude during this episode.
It's fine. You were playing Final Fantasy VIII. Everyone understands completely.
Sorry, Tadpog Nation.
We're a 7. She said so.
That's the sexiest I've ever been.
And that's out of 7.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.